You men sound so good when you sing, and so I got a word of knowledge while I was standing over there. I don't know if you heard the lightning or saw the lightning and thunder, heard the thunder, but Kyle and I have talked about before taking a Sunday and having a men's choir, and so we're going to do that at some point, but my word of knowledge was this: some Sunday, without warning the men, I'm just going to call all the men up to the choir loft and the stage. We're going to fill it up. I'm going to hand out the lyrics to a song just like that one. It's in our key. We can sing down low, you know. We don't have to worry about it. It sounds manly. And we're going to sing that song. All right? So heads up. It's going to happen when you least expect it. Well, let's commit our time to the Lord tonight. Father, thanks for the fact that you love us and hear our prayers. We do desire that you would help us to be godly men, to lead our families in a way that please you. Help us as we talk about this topic tonight, that we would have your thoughts. In Christ's name, amen. Well, we're going to talk tonight about leadership, your leadership in the home. If you're a husband, a father, you're single, you hope to be married someday, whatever the case, we are called to be leaders in the home, and normally we sort of just leave that in the realm of something very general, be a spiritual leader, you know, I mean, lead some times of worship, Bible study, answer your questions of your children, your wife, be an example of godliness and so forth, but we're going to press on one particular aspect of what I believe a man's leadership in the home is, especially if you have a wife, especially if you have daughters, or especially if you know someone that has a wife or daughters, or especially if you've ever had a wife or had daughters or ever plan to have a wife or have daughters, okay? If you're in any of those categories tonight, I want you to listen. We're going to talk about matters related to modesty when it comes to dress. Why are we going to do that? Well, because it's an important topic related to how we live our Christian lives and thus important to the testimony we present to people around us, but yet I do understand this is a very, very touchy topic. You can see that I've taken some material that my wife developed and I stole it, and I have edited it for our purposes and made some changes that would fit me and so on and so forth, but she teaches on this. I've never taught on it, just as I said this morning, in a public way. I've answered questions. It's the kind of topic that it's almost dangerous for a man to teach on how a woman dresses. I mean, that's at the heart of what we're going to talk about tonight. But nevertheless, it needs to be discussed at times, even though it's a touchy topic. It's touchy because there are several challenges involved. There are risks. Some challenges like these, the subjective nature of standards when you start talking about wardrobe selection and wardrobe scrutiny. Related to that is the lack of straightforward Bible verses that tell us what exactly is modest and immodest, I mean, in very specific ways, that relate to our dressing styles today. The popular culture has always been this way, but it certainly still is this, strongly opposed to biblical standards of any kind. You get on a personal topic like this, and someone can be easily offended. But like I said, sometimes things like this need to be addressed. And one reason I'm prompted to discuss this issue is that our elders are concerned with the periodic clothing choices of a few of the girls and ladies in our church family. I'm emphasizing periodic and some and so forth. In other words, there are concerns that we believe in this category that some are dressing immodestly. And that's a shame since we're talking about church gatherings. I mean, of all the places we should be able to come and not be faced with immodestly dressed women, you'd think it would be at church. We'd like to think that church is a safe place in this regard. We have to deal with it all around us all the time. But maybe here it's a place to rest from all the world standards when it comes to clothing. But alas, I travel to other churches at times, as you know. I've got a couple of those dates coming up. And I see regular examples of immodesty in other churches when I travel, and I see them in ours as well. So as we begin, I'll grant to you that a few things I'm going to say, you don't have to email me and tell me that I'm just sharing some personal opinions. I'm telling you, so I'm taking that argument away from you. Some of what I'm saying is in that category. We're also going to look at some scripture and some biblical principles. It's a mix. And I also want to say at the front end here, it's necessary to be very compassionate toward those who may need help in this area. And that's because developing a sense of modesty is a process related to spiritual maturity. I've seen this to be true. As women become older and more mature, generally, they also become less naive. And therefore, they do tend to become more conservative in their wardrobe selections. They grow in wisdom in how their choices affect others in the body, particularly men. You tend to see their dresses get longer as they get older, their tops getting less low cut and so forth. Something else I need to say. I'm not suggesting that we're about to create a new committee, you know, a fashion police team that's going to meet females at the door, you know, to measure the length of their skirt or their shorts, or evaluate the amount of exposed cleavage. I also need to quickly say, I'm not walking around every time we gather looking for this. Okay. None of our elders are. On the contrary, my habit, as it was this morning, my habit is to look away and to believe the best about that person. I choose to believe that for many, the immodesty is mainly due to ignorance, naivete. I was discussing this recently. I've done this along the way with a parent or two or three, and it's obvious, I think, that for many teens and many young women, especially teens and young women, that really they're not intentionally trying to be immodest. They just want to be fashionable. Nothing inherently wrong with that. But nevertheless, I'm just telling you, we do have some challenges in this area. The elders asked me to speak about it, and so here I am. There's an author for ladies, maybe you've heard of her, maybe your wives or read her. Nancy Lee DeMoss is her name. She, years ago, wrote a little book called The Look. And in it, she contrasts what the world says about dress and how we should look, and contrast that to what the Bible says. And as is often the case, if you're going to look at the world in some category and then look what the Bible says, many times you're going to find diametrically opposed perspectives. And on this topic, she says this in her little book, the world says beauty is something external and physical. The Bible says beauty is internal and spiritual. That's a contrast. The world says dress so that people notice you. Scripture says, dress to please God and glorify Him. The world says, the purpose is to uncover and reveal as much as possible. Scripture says, the purpose of clothing is to cover and conceal. So Christian women do need to think differently than the world on this, and we are all told this in Romans 12, you know, do not be conformed to the world. Don't let the world press you into its mold on any category. I mean, the women of the world, they don't know any better. I said the church ought to be a safe place. I mean, I don't go to the mall very often anyway, but I don't go to the mall expecting to see, you know, just examples of modesty everywhere. I pretty much expect the opposite. But when I come to church, I do. Sometimes girls and ladies who profess to love Christ don't look a whole lot more modest than girls who don't. So men, if you don't know this, my wife has taught on this topic more than once here at Twin City to some of your wives and daughters. Even recently she did that. But obviously, since she's the one that's taught on the subject more than once in the 16 years we've been here, and she does it other places, she has an article on the internet about it that people have found and so forth. Obviously, she's always teaching to girls and mothers. But it suddenly occurred to us as elders, we're ignoring what could be very well the source of the problem. Dads and husbands not leading their homes, and therefore not shepherding their wives and their daughters on this topic. And the bottom line is, as leaders, we'll give an account to God for this. So I'm asking you to hear me out tonight as I hopefully give you at least some food for thought, and as well challenge you to have courage in this area in your home and lead your family in your home. There's a handout, hopefully have it, we'll follow it. It's my wife's outline, by the way. I've said this before, if you tell people you've plagiarized, it's not plagiarism, right? I mean, that's my understanding of how it works. Number one, the need for modesty. She learned her outlining from me, though, you can tell. Being intentional when it comes to dressing modestly is necessary because of some theology, what we believe about the fall in Genesis 3. This is the theological foundation for anything we'd say in this area because we've got to go back to God's instructions to Adam and Eve and what happened with them and their sin. Isn't it interesting that the very first thing they did pretty soon after they sinned was cover themselves, right, with fig leaves. That was different than how things were before the fall, right? Scripture says that before the fall, they were naked and unashamed. No fear, no question about nakedness, no fear that nakedness is going to be somehow turned into evil or used for evil purposes. The fall changed everything. They sought to hide their nakedness. There was this sense of innocence about the nakedness that was lost and lost forever. We can fast forward a little bit. We know what God did. God actually introduced clothing for the first time in the Bible. Real clothing, you know. He gave them animal skins to take the place of the fig leaves. Now, obviously, we understand the theology there. There was the principle being exemplified and taught about the need for sacrifice. There really is the beginning of sacrificial atonement, penal substitutionary atonement that we preached on this morning. Animals were sacrificed. A covering for sin was provided. But as a side note, clothing introduced into the scriptures, into human history, because of the fall. We also find in Genesis 3 that from there on, whenever nakedness is mentioned, it's always associated with shame, except in the context of marriage, obviously. The point is, modesty became necessary because of the fall theologically, but for a more practical reason, because of temptation that people face. Now, you're going to hear me tonight speaking as a man who's pretty old-fashioned about this topic. Not so much about fashions in general, but the differences between men and women. I don't buy into all that the culture has been trying to do to make men and women the same. I don't care how hard they try to do that. We're not. And never will be. We do know that this is true about men and women, though. All believers face temptation, so that's a similarity between men and women. And even how we're tempted, James chapter 1, 14 and 15, those verses give us how temptation happens. It says in James 1, each one is tempted, male or female, when he or she is drawn away by his or her, his is used generically there, his own desires and enticed. I mean, that's true of everybody. Both men and women can be tempted by their own sensual desire, so in this we are the same. Or if you put it in terms of 1 John chapter 2 and how the world is described, men and women are the same when it comes to being susceptible to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It might look differently how they're tempted, but it goes back to those things. 1 John 2 there summarizes what worldliness is. It says, all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. But there are also differences in how men and women are tempted. And one of the main differences is that, though people try to prove it not to be true, it is true. God has designed men to be more visually oriented and stimulated when it comes to sexual things. Women, on the other hand, tend to be more verbal, you could say, in what appeals to them. Those are broad stereotypes, but there's a broad truth to them as well. It's a difference by God's design. He designed a man to appreciate and to be attracted to the beauty of a woman. It's interesting in Proverbs 7, where Solomon is warning his son against evil, sinful women. It's interesting, this verse in 10, it says, and there a woman, and it's not a good woman, but a woman met him with the attire of a harlot. That little phrase, the attire of a harlot, is the Bible being very specific about what was getting his attention and drawing him away. It was down that path. It was the way the immoral woman was dressing. Why? Because that is one of the main ways that men are tempted. I mean, I can't think of a verse where the Bible takes the other attack and gives us a description how an immoral man dresses. But it does talk about how an immoral woman dresses. And that's because for most women, sight is not the primary avenue of temptation when it comes to sexual things. Believe me, I've been around long enough in counseling and so forth. I know there are exceptions to this, but it's one of those cases where the exception proves the rule, actually. So listen to how the Bible speaks about men being tempted by what they see or understanding that. Job 31, verse 1. Job says, I've made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I look upon a young woman? How was David tempted? He was walking on his roof, and it wasn't a conversation that got started, you know. He saw her taking a bath. It's a fact. Men are more susceptible to be tempted through their eyes than a woman. You know, that's historically why the pornography industry has been aimed at men. Again, there are exceptions to that, especially now, but historically, the pornography industry was aimed its business at men because men are very affected by what they see. Again, there are exceptions, and the number of women who have become in bondage to pornography has increased over the last few decades, but the culture has almost taught them to be that way. But nevertheless, most nudity on the internet or movies are aimed at appealing to men. Now, let me be very clear. I'm sure some woman's going to listen to this. And my wife makes this point. Immodesty is no excuse for the sin of lust. Okay, I'm not removing the responsibility off of us as men. The Bible doesn't do that. I've had a couple of conversations with females along the way who say all the church talks about is how women ought to dress conservatively. They never talk to men about their problem. And I'm thinking, well, that's just not true. We talk a lot about that along the way. That's mostly what we talk about. Sanctification and purity and our thoughts and so forth. So immodesty is no excuse for lust on our part. A man cannot control what many women wear, and certainly a man can lust, even if she's got a choir robe on, you know. But he can control what he looks at, and he can control his thoughts, and he's required to. So we're not removing that. The bottom line is it's still the man's responsibility to discipline his eyes and discipline his mind. It's just sad that some girls and women are making that self-control more difficult. I don't remember now what's in your notes or not, but here's a quote from Nancy DeMoss. This isn't to suggest that men are not responsible for their thought life or their behavior. They are. And they have to learn how to... Is that in your notes? Okay, then listen and memorize what I'm about to read. I'll start over. It's a long paragraph. This isn't to suggest that men are not responsible for their thought life or their behavior. They are. And they have to learn how to walk with God and bring those thoughts under the control of Christ. This is a woman writing. However, as Christian women, our clothing choices can either help men succeed morally or can put temptation in their path that they may find it difficult to overcome. That means both men and women are responsible for moral purity. We should do everything in our power, this woman writes, to help our brothers stand and to be sure that our dress and appearance bring glory to God. Obviously, whether it's the man or the woman's fault, the Bible makes it clear that impurity and sexual sin are very serious issues. Lust is a matter of sexual sin for men. But if there's anything in a woman's dress that is sensual or suggestive, she is inviting men to go somewhere in their imaginations that they should not go. Of course, the sad reality today is that men hardly have to use their imaginations anymore because so much is revealed. And like I said earlier, I think that for many Christian women today and girls that it's a matter of carelessness. It's a matter of naivete. It's a matter of unthinking. Maybe their mothers never taught them about modesty. I don't know. But whether it's intentional or not, either way, damage can still be done. So my point tonight, why am I talking about it? Husbands, fathers, you have a responsibility to shepherd your wives and daughters to help them not be careless and naive. Number two, the goal of modesty. Here's a couple of key thoughts to keep in mind, though, to set the stage for this discussion. Goals are something that are internal. They're in our heart. That's where they're formed. That's why keeping our hearts spiritually healthy is so important. You have verses like Proverbs 4:23 that says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the springs of life." I mean, everything about us goes back to the state of our hearts. And that's true of a woman. She has to understand that when she considers her clothing choices. The most important question, ultimately, is not what am I going to wear? A much more important question is what's the state of my heart as I make this decision? You see, how a woman dresses on the outside says a lot about who she is on the inside. Now, I can teach that same principle to men on various topics, obviously. That means that honesty about motives is crucial here on this topic. A girl must evaluate why she dresses the way she does. She has to be honest about any kind of reaction she's trying to get from others. Again, true for men as well. But like I said, I'm a realist on this topic. What I'm saying has special application to women when it comes to clothing. Women have unique reasons to apply all of this. There's nothing automatically wrong with wanting to dress fashionable. I said that. There's nothing inherently wrong with wanting to dress well. There's nothing inherently wrong with wanting to dress in a way that you're pleasant, pleasing to the eyes of other people. But a woman has to be very careful that that desire does not cross this line where it becomes something that she craves. It's an idol, this reaction and this attention. Then it becomes a pride issue in the heart. And certainly a woman should never derive this secret pleasure from thinking that she's attracting spiritually unhealthy attention from men. When she dresses immodestly, you see, that can happen, which means she's doing a great disservice to the Christian brothers in the church family. So again, she has to examine her motives. You have to shepherd your family on this. She really must be honest. Your daughter must be honest because our hearts can deceive us. A woman can be trying to get attention from men and boys while all the time presenting herself or pretending to herself that she's doing nothing of the kind. She has to pray like we all do on certain topics. Psalm 139, 23 and 24. Search me, O God. See if there be any wicked way in me. Oh God, know my heart on this. Do you have the quote from John MacArthur there? I think you do. That's from his 1 Timothy commentary. How does a woman discern the sometimes fine line between proper dress and dressing to be the center of attention? The answer starts in the intent of the heart. A woman should examine her motives and goals for the way she dresses. Is her intent to show the grace and beauty of womanhood? Is it to reveal a humble heart devoted to worshiping God? Or is it to call attention to herself and flaunt her beauty? Or worse, to attempt to lure men sexually? A woman who focuses on worshiping God will consider carefully how she is dressed, because her heart will dictate her wardrobe and her appearance. The reality is, sometimes the problem then is not even modesty, it's pride, idolatry. You know, a woman or a girl can be dressed relatively modest and still deal with this in the heart. She can be very focused on whether people are noticing how good she looks, even if it's modest, or noticing the brands that she wears, or how much she might have spent on something. That's just as wrong as being immodest, because it still goes back to the heart. So there's one key point to ponder. Here's a second one, that goals, though they begin in the heart, and that's where you're wrestling with goals, they are going to be expressed in our behavior, our choices in life, externally. Mark 7, Jesus says that, "For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts and adulteries and so forth." That verse confirms that what's on the inside will eventually get out, manifest itself outwardly. He says it about speech as well. Matthew 12, 34, "The mouth speaks out of the abundance of what's in the heart." I mean, whatever's coming out of our mouths, it goes back to what's in the heart. So you could take a verse like that, Matthew 12, 34, "The mouth speaks out of the abundance of the heart." You could put some words in there like that. Out of the abundance of the heart, the body dresses. Same principle. A person's clothing does say something about him or her. Now let me pause the flow of thought, because here's an accusation that can be levied. I said I hadn't taught on this in 30 years. Probably won't do it again, so here it is. You can be accused of legalism. Maybe some of you are thinking that. Be careful, Pastor. You're getting up to that line of legalism here. Believe me, I assure you, I do know the danger of legalism. I teach a lot against that. I hate legalism. Legalism is an overemphasis on external things, and then mixed with the belief that somehow that equates to spirituality or produces spirituality in someone's life. And it's a mindset that almost always leads to the person becoming self-righteous and then judging other people by their own self-created external standards and so forth. Legalism is a gangrene in our lives and in the church, and we have to avoid it. But yeah, so we don't want to become legalistic in this area. And frankly, while I'm thinking to say this, I think it's one of the reasons we don't say much about this, and one of the reasons that we haven't entered in a lot on it as elders. We've had some discussions, and my wife teaches on it and, you know, answers some questions on it, all that kind of stuff. But I think one of the reasons we haven't is because we don't want to be legalistic on this, you know. Some churches are. I mean, I literally know of churches that do stand at the door and have the fashion police to measure the length of the skirts, and they send people home. It could be an unbeliever wandering off the street, I mean, just looking for Christ. I mean, they want to be forgiven of their sin, and they're turned away because their dress is too short. That happens in very legalistic, independent, fundamental churches out there. Yeah, we don't want to be that. But like I said, a woman can be modestly dressed even and still have a wicked heart. You know, that's still a problem. And a woman can be immodestly dressed, and it's just naivete. So my point tonight, I'll say this more than once, my point tonight is that the father or the husband ought to sense their responsibility in this area, in their home. Principles have to be taught. You have to shepherd your family. Standards ought to be set that you believe will honor the Lord. And that allows us now to go on to these what goals ought to be then, with all that understand. This is a major goal for us as believers in everything we do, to glorify God. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says that. Therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whether you wear this or that, whatever you wear, do all to the glory of God. The goal of every Christian in every category is to glorify God, but that includes this category of modesty. Just remember, Christ purchased us, 1 Corinthians 6. It also says it in 1 Corinthians 7. He bought us with a price. We no longer own ourselves. He owns our bodies. Our bodies even said to be, in 1 Corinthians 6, the temple of the Holy Spirit. So a woman needs to think that way about all of this. She is dressing a body that belongs to the Lord. I mean, men should consider that as well. But again, I'm just a realist about this. Her body doesn't belong to her anymore. How she dresses is all about the glory of God, just as everything in our lives ought to be. So the bottom line is, if a woman is dressing in a manner that causes others to lust after her, whether it's intentional or not, it doesn't glorify God. Another goal, to please God. That's more specific. 2 Corinthians 5:9 is a good memory verse for all of us. Paul says we have as our driving ambition, our goal in life, whether dead or alive, to be pleasing to Him. We please God by loving Him and worshiping Him. We please God by having integrity in our lives and character and living holy lives. We please God by obeying what He says in His Word and loving what He loves. But that desire to please Him involves every area of our lives, including how we dress, modesty. You have these verses in your notes, just a lot of verses that I won't go through, that Scripture, where Scripture emphasizes purity and righteousness. Purity and righteousness, that's a priority with God. The Lord loves purity. He loves righteousness. And the reason is, that's the very essence of who He is. So if we want to please Him, we should be very concerned with reflecting what is right, what is good, what is pure in our personal lives. And then third, the expression of modesty. Modesty can be expressed in many ways, not just dress, but it certainly includes the way we dress. But before we address the specifics, I want to look for a moment at two passages you have in your notes there, 1 Timothy 2 and 1 Peter 3. These are so important, and we don't have time to literally exposit them in detail, but we do want to just get the main point of each passage. Let's start with 1 Timothy 2, 9 and 10. In like manner also, the women should adorn themselves in modest apparel with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but that which is proper for women professing godliness along with good works. So first of all, don't misunderstand the intent of what Paul says in that verse. He's not saying that a woman should never braid her hair. He's not saying that that's wrong, that a woman can't braid her hair. But he is confronting, especially at that time, the showy hairdos. I mean, they had a little bit different style in thinking about hairdos then than we do now. In the years I've lived, I've seen that come and go, you know, hairdos of women. But in that time, there were these showy hairdos and showy clothing that some women were wearing to church. And they would weave gold into their hair and pearls and other jewelry. I mean, maybe they were country western singers or something. I don't know. From back in the 60s. And they would draw attention to themselves and flaunt their wealth, and flaunt their position, or flaunt their beauty. And just so you'll know, also that's entering into Paul's teaching here, in that day, prostitutes of the day tended to wear a lot of jewelry and elaborate hairdos and expensive clothes. So what he says also connects with something about the culture at that time. So the end result is that the women at the church were at best a distraction when they walked in, drawing attention away from the Lord, and at worst, They were doing it to seduce the men of the church. So the apostle is encouraging qualities here like orderliness in their choices and humility and self-control. We have to remember when we come to the church, we're gathering together to worship God, a God who is holy and infinite and almighty. I mean, shouldn't we think seriously about that? Shouldn't we think in terms of dressing in a way that honors Him? I'm not talking about the need to be more formal and ties and all that kind of stuff. That's really a moot point. But instead, just the general principle, still today, the need to not be distracting and the need to not be sensual. Those two things. Not distracting and not sensual. The parallel passage is 1 Peter 3:3-4. It says, your adornment must not be merely external, braiding the hair and wearing gold jewelry or putting on dresses. I mean, obviously, you need to take all three of those. He's not saying, don't braid the hair, don't wear gold, and don't put on dresses, okay? No, but let it be the hidden person of the heart. There's the emphasis. Where the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. So Peter here is reminding us that a woman's beauty is something more than just external. It doesn't come merely, he says, from outward adornment. But rather, there is this spiritual character that is beautiful to God because it's honoring to God. So the emphasis here is on cultivating inner beauty. You have this quote, I'm pretty sure, Edmund Hebert. It's in his commentary on 1 Peter. It goes without saying that this passage doesn't encourage slovenliness or indifference toward appearance. Neither does it constitute absolute prohibition of braids or jewelry any more than it forbids the putting on of dresses. This passage is a warning against extravagance and self-centered display. So you just don't want to wear things that are immodest or things that are designed to attract attention. But be balanced. You don't want to completely ignore the outside either. I mean, Peter never says, don't do anything that's external. He just says, don't let that be all you do. Certainly, a woman can attract attention at the other extreme by being too austere or too sloppy. Everybody notices. So whether it's too made up or too sloppy, either one is distracting. A quote from Melody Green, that was Keith Green's wife. She has this little publication called Uncovering the Truth About Modesty. She says this, I have seen people go to the other extreme and try to prove to others that they are more spiritual because of their lack of concern about the way they look. But this too can be just another form of pride and self-righteousness. So a total lack of concern about how you look is not a sign of spirituality. I don't know where this quote came from. Maybe my wife says it. I think maybe it's hers. There is nothing spiritual about walking around looking like an unmade bed. That sounds like something my wife would say, actually. So yes, in marriage, for a married woman to put forth effort in seeking to please and appeal to her husband, all that's fine. What they enjoy, what they like, that's their business. But even still, the internal is more important than the external. I mean, diet and exercise enter in on this. They're good things. I mean, there's a moderate level of attention that we ought to give to diet and exercise to take care of ourselves. We should be stewards, good stewards of our bodies, but you can go too far with that. I mean, there are people that are spending, you know, 6 to 8 hours at the gym, you know, and spending all kinds of money on cosmetic surgeries and everything else to try to cheat aging. So you can go too far with all that, even exercise and diet. But the point tonight, did I tell you I was going to say that more than once? The point tonight, since a person, a woman, can get very out of balance in this area, shepherd your wife. Shepherd your daughters on this. Shepherd your sons as well. There's a godly lady we knew years ago, Sandy. You may have this quote as well. Your character is the picture, and your appearance is the frame. The frame should complement the picture, not distract from it. So in summary, we should not pay too little attention to our appearance or pay too much. One more thing, by the way. Deuteronomy 22, verse 5, and this leads to a whole discussion of how this enters into our culture today. And I don't pretend to have all the answers to this. I'm just telling you, it's a principle that was in God's heart that he told his people about in Deuteronomy 22, verse 5, that a woman should make sure she looks like a woman and not a man. So whatever that means, in whatever culture, a girl should look like a woman and a girl. Especially in this day when there's so much confusion about gender, she ought to want to look as feminine as possible. We'll leave that there. So some practical issues. Let's move on to this, and this is where it even gets more touchy. I'm going to seek to be as tasteful and tactful as I can tonight. Here's a foundational idea to begin with. If a woman dresses in a way that draws attention, and here's where I'm going to be tactful and careful, if a woman dresses in a way that calls attention to particular parts of her body that tempt a man to take a second look at those parts, then it's likely not an appropriate way to dress. And it's very unloving toward others. There are many guys doing their best to fight temptation, many guys in the battle of this, many guys trying to guard their eyes, and yet there are girls dressing in such a way as to draw attention to the very areas of their body that the guys are trying so hard not to look at. What is edifying about that? What's novel? What's loving about that? I think I've heard my wife say this, it's kind of like baking a chocolate cake for someone who's trying to lose weight. Yeah, don't do that. You know, it's not wise. Ultimately, the way your wife or daughter dresses should draw attention to her face, not her body parts. Nothing wrong with an overall picture of loveliness, but that's different than being naive and worse, intentional in dressing in a way that is an excessive temptation to boys and men around them. Nancy DeMoss, again, has these two broad questions that a woman ought to ask. And that means that these are questions that a husband should be asking about what his wife wears, that a father should be asking about what his daughter wears. Does it expose and does it emphasize? Does it expose more of her skin and body than is healthy and good and spiritually profitable? Does it emphasize parts of her body more than it should? Good questions, at least as a place to start. We're going to go on to be more particular. But by the way, we've gotten input along the way, my wife and I, from pastors we've known that deal with this more on a regular basis, especially college pastors and youth pastors. A college pastor that we know many years ago told us that he asked his own lay staff, the Bible study leaders that were in his ministry, he asked his leaders to write down a list of what are the main temptations to them now in how a girl dresses. And be honest, he said. Now, these were all guys who loved the Lord. These are guys who were serving the Lord, guys who were Bible study shepherds, guys trying to live a holy, godly life. I'm going to give you the list. There were 10. Low pants, tight pants, thin tops, tight form fitting tops, bare shoulders, low necklines, cleavage, the midriff showing, skirt slits on the side that come up too high, and short shorts. That was not earth-shaking when I read that list. I'm going, well, that's what I've always known to be true. It doesn't change. So as we go through this next section, just keep things like that in mind. Those are the things we're talking about. And again, I'm not making the point that your wife or daughter needs to dress like Little House on the Prairie. You know, don't do that. They come dressed like that all the time. That's going to be distracting too. Being so out of step with the culture. Be reasonable about fashions without compromising biblical principles. There's the general guideline. So on that note, a girl or woman needs to be very careful not to fall in the trap of measuring herself against the popular fashions and using that as her standard. Popular fashions are always going to be a false standard because popular fashions can always end up being incredibly immodest. So she can incorporate some things. I mean, all of our wives and daughters do that. Some things about the culture and fashions that are current, as long as it doesn't cross a line and become immodest. So with that said, here are three broad categories to consider, and I'm teaching to men, husbands, and fathers tonight about these. You're going to be held accountable for these things for your family. Essentially, every specific issue that you could come up with, I think, fits into one of these categories. So it's not a bunch of rules and how many inches and all that to measure, just principles. But you're going to have to examine specifics about your wife's wardrobe and your daughter's wardrobe. First one, is it too short? Okay? That's another way of saying what? Is it too revealing? Okay. That applies to several different types of clothing. Start with dresses and skirts. A woman ought to stay as close to the knee with her skirt as possible. I don't know how many inches that is. I can tell you that there are some that are too short at our church. Somewhere in there, it's too short because it draws the attention to her legs. So ask that question. Is my wife's dress, is my daughter's skirt, is it drawing attention to the legs? And test that one more time. Have her sit down. Tops and crop tops and all that. It is provocative for a woman to show her midriff, her belly button. That's just true. Don't try to deny it. Shorts. Definitely a challenging topic there. Here's a bottom line principle on shorts. You ready? No short shorts, okay? What is a short short? One that's causing all the guys to look. No short shorts. There are ladies who wear shorts to the middle of the thigh. That's best. Ladies wear capris as a substitute, I'm told by my wife. The reality is, and I've heard this argued before, well, it's hot, we have to wear shorts. No, you don't. Nobody does. Regardless of the weather, no one has to. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. It's just, think about it. Now, believe me, I'm the first one to tell you, when I look at my high school yearbooks, I am appalled at what I wore on the basketball team. My goodness. What were we thinking back then? And if we had come out in the basketball shorts that they wear in the last many years that come down to the knee, we would have been laughed out of the gymnasium. But you look at those basketball pictures now, and there's one of me dribbling down. I go, I don't even want to look at it. I'm ashamed of it. And so those cultural things change and styles change, but there should be something that doesn't change, our concern about what we're drawing attention to. If someone insists on wearing shorts, just make sure they're as modest as you can make them. Here at Twin City, just speaking honestly, we do have girls and women wearing shorts that are too short. It's just true. I see it at other churches as well. It draws attention to their legs and, frankly, to other things as well. And then they go one step beyond it. They roll up the bottom of their shorts, okay, to make them shorter. Shepherd your daughter on that. Don't do that. Swimsuits. I don't even have time to talk about that. I mean, frankly, the question that has to be answered somewhere along the way, is there such thing as a modest swimsuit at all on a woman? You know, maybe there's not. It's all relative. Because the bottom line, a swimsuit for a female basically covers just the same areas that her underwear covers. No difference. Yet who would wear their underwear to the beach or to a pool? So we have to think wisely about it. I'm realistic enough to know that in our culture, obviously from time to time, we wear swimsuits and so forth. Again, the principle is just be as modest as you possibly can. Be modest. I mean, I've yet to hear an argument of why it's possible that it's a good idea for a Christian girl, a Christian woman to wear a two-piece or a bikini. I just haven't heard an argument yet that really makes a good point on that one. Or even a one-piece that the thigh is cut up so high. And so women who are conscious of this, they know that there are solutions to all this. They can be as modest as they can, and they wear things like skirts around their waist and sarongs and board shorts and wraps, and I don't even know what some of those things are, but the girls and the women do. I mean, don't ask me what a sarong is, you know. I don't know. I think they wear that in Japan, I guess, when they eat sushi or something. Sarong or sarite? I don't know which one it is, you know. Here's a general rule for swimsuits. Nothing low in front, nothing low in back, and no high-cut legs. So do the best you can. I'll tell you my wife's conviction in this area. She is not comfortable showing a lot of skin around any other man other than me. So her swimsuit is very modest. She's at the beach right now with my family while I'm here with you. Not complaining. I'm just telling you the way it is. They're out there at the beach sending me pictures today, playing on the beach with my grandchildren, all that. Here I am with you guys. She's modest. So, what was that category? Is it too short? Another way of just saying, is it too revealing? Second category. Is it too tight? Which is another way of saying, is it too revealing? Some women, this is where my tact enters in, some women need to be even more careful than others, depending on their shape and their figure. But in general, she should not dress in a way that emphasizes her figure, but in a way that minimizes it. She can still look like a woman, she should, and yet not draw attention to certain aspects of her figure. And when you add in the thinness of the material to the problem of it being too tight, well, a woman is displaying even more than just her shape. Talk about something that can make a guy stumble. I don't understand how a woman doesn't know that everything is showing when they wear things that tight and that thin. Have they looked in a mirror at all? I do believe there are women that have blinders. You need to be the one in the family without the blinders. Does that mean she can never wear a knit top or a sweater? No, of course not. But she just has to be honest about whether something is just too tight or too thin. Does she have on the proper necessary undergarments and so forth? And a woman's shirt or blouse has to be tested not only for whether it maximizes or minimizes her figure, but it needs to be tested on one more issue, and that's what happens when she, how it fits when she bends over. My wife's very sensitive to that. So again, the point tonight is, men, you have the responsibility of shepherding your wives and your daughters on all these issues. Dresses and skirts have to be evaluated. They can be too thin, too stretchy, too tight across the back that hugs every square inch of their body in the back. See how tactful I am? It all comes down to the question, what does she want to happen? Does she want men staring at her as she walks past them? If she doesn't, then she cannot wear her dresses and her skirts so tight that that's exactly what they'll be tempted to do as she walks by. Pants and jeans, the same issue. By the way, I think I say this later. I should say it now. There are these pants that are these stretchy pants. I forgot the name of them, yoga pants or something like that, and some are wearing them to church. Do they not know that it shows everything about their figure? I'm grateful to the ladies who understand that, and when they wear those on Sunday, they also wear long tops to cover up their waist and beyond. Because it's too tight. Yeah, but it's in the culture, so it's okay. No, it's not. Last, is it too low? Now, this is another way of saying it's too revealing, okay? It's the same on all three. When it comes to tops, a woman needs to abide by one very basic guideline, and I'm quoting my wife on this one. Here's the guideline when it comes to tops. Quote, cleavage is for her husband, unquote. No one else. Her cleavage is not for the rest of the men in the world. I don't care what they wear on Downton Abbey and all those shows back in those era, at the balls they would go to and stuff like that. The reality is, if you're just going to be honest, I'm old now, so just be very honest about it. Any cleavage at all will draw a man's eyes, even if it's a half inch or 1 inch. It just does. So be honest about it. And be honest about the fact. She needs to be honest. When she shows cleavage, she's displaying a part of her breast to the world. That's just what it is. This is the one place, I said, overall, women, as they get more mature, they get more conservative. This is the one area where I have noticed some more mature women, they still are blinded in this category. They wouldn't offend in any other area, but in this category, they're too liberal. Just as a side note, we had to deal with this in California. We've had to deal with it here a little bit. California was a huge issue, and that is weddings. Weddings are a special challenge in churches. I've been surprised at many church weddings with the wedding dresses and the bridesmaids' dresses that they chose, something they would never consider wearing to church on Sunday, strapless, backless, showing lots of cleavage. I mean, I've done a couple of weddings in California where the entire wedding, I had to look away, never looking at the bride. And I was kind of elevated on some steps. I had to hold my notes up high, I was shocked. Did anybody screen these things? We started screening them. They had to start bringing their dresses to us for the staff or someone and their wives to approve the wedding dresses. It seems that at some weddings, standards go out the window. Well, no, it's a wedding. It's not a worship service. Well, I got news for you. From my perspective, a wedding is a worship service. And by the way, a strapless top, by its very nature, is provocative. You can argue against that all day long. A woman's shoulders, bare shoulders, is provocative. One man told me recently, here's the reason why. He was just being honest. Quote, the overall impression is that she just stepped out of the shower. That's the look. And I agree with that. It doesn't matter what the occasion is. Cleavage is cleavage. Skin is skin, and so forth. Still in the too low category, jeans. She has to make sure that the top she wears covers the top of her jeans so that no matter what activity she's involved in, when she raises her arm, she's still modest. Are they too low in back? Come on, it's just common sense. Here's some miscellaneous issues to consider. I'm almost done. A woman has to exercise caution with certain colors. You need to shepherd your wife and daughters on this, possibly. Certain colors, like light-colored or white, are more revealing. They're see-through. Undergarments are meant to be, this is shocking, I hope you're sitting down. Undergarments were meant to be undergarments. Not seen. Yet we live in a day, as Nancy DeMoss puts it in one of her writings, that underwear has become outerwear. Women have to be careful about the armholes in their sleeveless shirts. If they're cut too low, they need to sew them up because too much is seen, whether it's undergarments or more. Exercise clothes. I mean, obviously, it's a particular kind of spandex-type material and so forth, but again, be careful about what your wife and your daughter are going out in public, at least at church. That's really what I'm speaking about here. But you know what? Teach modesty in your home. It's important to set a good example in the home to children about what modesty is. It's one way they learn. We sought to model that for our children early on. We were very conservative about that in front of our children. So in summary, you have them all there. Is it too short, too tight, too low? I put this in there too. Our pastor friend put it this way, it's the preposition test, if you like grammar. It's in your notes. If you can look up it, or down it, or through it, those are all prepositions, then don't wear it. I'll add one more preposition. If it tempts men to look at it, be wise. A specific word to fathers, and then a specific word to husbands. Fathers of single daughters, be teaching her that she is to save her body for her husband. Not just saving it when it comes to sexual activity, but saving even the display of it. I mean, what kind of man does she want to attract? A godly man who cares about these things, or a man who doesn't? And a more specific word to husbands, marriage was designed by God, and God designed a woman's body to be beautiful and attractive to her spouse. So to dress in a public in a way that's tempting to other men is just wrong. Shepherd your wife to dress in a modest way. On either one of these, certainly don't be guilty of wanting to show your wife off or show your daughter off of how great they look. That's a heart problem for the husband, the father. It's pride because he thinks it makes him look good. If for whatever reason your wife wants to dress immodestly against your wishes, you're going to have to patiently and lovingly lead her to a higher standard. And other women can come alongside her if that's necessary. In conclusion, when it comes to modesty, both men and women have a responsibility, you see. Men are responsible to guard their eyes and their thoughts. Men are to train their sons, be teaching their sons how to do that. They're going to have to do it the rest of their lives. Women are responsible to dress modestly, to encourage one another amongst women and girls to be modest. Mothers need to talk to their daughters about so many of these things in particular. Fathers just need to lead the way in it, though. And start young. You can't allow immodesty when they're young, and then suddenly when they're 13, expect them to suddenly start being modest. You're going to have a battle. And when you dress these things in the home, the charge is that you're so legalistic, but like I said, it's not about legalism. It's about love. Showing others in the body of Christ love and sacrificing for their benefit, and it's about humility. Because a woman dresses modestly, she's not drawing attention to herself. And lastly, it's about being realistic and honest. To deny that there are certain clothes and styles and fashions that are provocative to men is just to be naive and unrealistic. There is something about virtually every woman's body that could catch a man's attention, just because she's a girl or a woman. So seek to be clothed. Teach them what it means to be clothed with strength and honor and humility and the fear of God. So husbands and men, let me speak to you quickly. You're going to have to learn wisely what the hills to die on are in your family. Okay? I've been there. I don't have control over them now. But I've been there in the battle. Two daughters. You have to choose the hills to die on wisely as you seek to shepherd them on these issues. But I'm going to tell you, courage is necessary. You're going to have courage. You may get resistance. And I may get some emails and calls after all this. You know what else this means, you husbands and fathers? You may need to take a day and go shopping with your wife or daughter. Oh, Pastor, no, not that. I did that. I remember to this day taking my daughter, my oldest daughter, because we were making our way, learning about all this. I took her to the mall in California. Going, all right, we're going to go shopping together. We go in a store, This proverbial scene, you can see it in your mind. She goes in the dressing room. I'm sitting out there in a chair. And she comes out, and I go, nope. Next time, nope. Dad, nope. Next one, yep. No, that's okay. I had to ignore some things like color. Like, it was hideous, you know. No, that's fine. Yeah, no, that's... It's good, modest. I don't think it, you're a winter, you know, so those aren't your colors, you know. I did it. Been about 8 to 10 hours. I got a medal. You may have to do that. Go shopping with your wife. In the syllabus, there's another quote from Nancy DeMoss. It's a prayer. I think it's in there. Start, Lord, this body of mine belongs to you. Do you have that? Okay. Lord, this body of mine belongs to you. I desire to bring you glory and honor through my words, my attitudes, and the way I dress. I resolve to be pure inwardly and outwardly, and I am willing, where necessary, to stand against the culture. I accept responsibility for how I dress. Help me to be teachable and to have an attitude and spirit that brings you glory through my actions and appearance. Bottom line, men, don't let your wife and your daughters leave the house dressed immodestly. You will be held accountable for it. If you think you and your wife or your daughters ought to sit down and listen to this, then do it. We'll send them a copy of the syllabus. Like I said, my wife has teaching on this. We can send you recordings by her. She says things more directly than I do about some of these issues, speaking to women. I will tell you this, that one of the things she hands out is something that you can get tonight. It's on the counter out there. I only made about half of what you needed. I meant for it to be that if you have a wife and you have a daughter, you know, take one. And if we run out, we can print one. It's just 2 pages, one page front and back. It's a bunch of specific things by some other ladies, C.J. Mahaney's wife, Carolyn Mahaney, and some others that Pam has accumulated, some quotes and some guidelines and things like that. So it gets more specific. But if you want help in this area with your family, speak to your elder and his wife. You can sit down together with your wife and maybe answer some of these questions. Maybe I need the opportunity to defend some of this to them. I don't know. I'm just saying, take it seriously. Let's pray. Father, again, we handle things like this in such a feeble, meager way, but take these efforts and multiply them. Help these fathers and these husbands and some that aren't here that need to hear it and maybe will listen to it later. Lord, I pray that we'd use it, that we're raising the water level, so to speak, of the understanding in our church family of what's proper. So that at least there's an understanding that we're coming here with the right intentions and we're being careful about things. And Father, you know our heart as elders. We're not trying to police all this and we're not going to do that. But we do need to shepherd the church and shepherd these men, and these men need to shepherd their families. So I pray you would help us with all of that. Help our wives and daughters to be receptive. In Christ's name, amen. You're dismissed.